Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. And it's good to have Susan Annunzio back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Susan is a CEO coach. That's one of the things she does. She helps people like you and me put our best foot forward. She helps us to make sure that we're hitting on all cylinders, not only with our own performance, but in the way that we work with the people in our organizations, our teams, our employees, our managers, and making sure that those relationships are healthy and high-performing. And she's the author of Contagious Success, Spreading High Performance Throughout Your Organization. She's our good friend, Susan Annunzio. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back. She's also chairman and CEO of Hudson Highland Center for High Performance. Susan, one of the challenges small business owners have as they're growing their business,
right?
If you think of the classic small business, I mean really the classic one, is an individual starts a business from whole cloth, from a blank slate of paper, sheet of paper, and builds something. You know, maybe and if you really want to get classic, it started out on the kitchen table,
right?
And then in a year or two or five, they've got some critical mass. They've got maybe a handful of employees, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden, they start realizing that everything that needs to be touched, they can't touch.
Exactly.
Some things have to be done that they can't touch. And now their business is getting away from them a little bit. It's getting a little bit out of control. And they start realizing it, maybe they start feeling this frustration, but what the frustration is really telling them is, you better start building a team. What do you think?
That's absolutely true. You know, I would call it the entrepreneur's dilemma. You know, on one hand, the entrepreneur is successful because of what they know, their knowledge, usually with their relationship with their customer.
Who they are,
and their business is very dependent on their smart thinking, their knowledge of their industry or their product, and their knowledge of their customer. And that grew the business. But what happens is there gets to be a point where it grows so well that they can't do that anymore, and they have to begin to rely on other people. And they start hiring other people.
Mm-hmm.
But then the second problem comes in, and it's called founder syndrome. And founder syndrome is you hire people, but then you don't let them do anything. And and when you don't let them do anything and you micromanage them and you treat them as though they're stupid, one of two things happens.
Mm-hmm.
You either the competent people leave because they don't want to be treated like they're stupid, and the ones that stay really aren't that competent.
Right.
And so then you have to do everything yourself, and you go home and you complain to your wife or your husband about the fact that you can't get good, that you have to work these long hours because nobody but you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the real truth of the matter is that what founders don't do is stop and think about, what's my end game here? Why am I doing this? What's my eventual exit strategy? And if I'm 30 years old or 35 or even 45, I don't want to think about my exit strategy. I just want my business to grow. But when I don't know where I want it to grow to, what I want it to grow out of, I don't know how to build a team that's going to get me there.
Mm-hmm.
So my business.
There really are two classic problems here.
Mm-hmm.
One is the ability to recognize that this is what I need to do. That I actually have a team. If I have a team, I need to make sure it's working properly. And the other one is the ability to whether I have the ability to make that happen or not.
Exactly.
And the awareness comes first, doesn't it? The awareness always has to come first.
Exactly. Well, I just ran a retreat for a company that's, I mean, when you put the intro to this, I thought you were talking about the company that I just work with. And we did a two-day retreat out at one of those places where they do retreats. And before I went on the retreat, I had interviewed all the executives. The founder had hired a team, has a CIO, has someone to account executives and has someone to handle their finance and even their IT. So the person has built an executive team. The problem is everybody on the team had the same problem. Everyone felt like the founder's a woman, that she had to make all the decisions, that she didn't trust anyone, that she knew the business better than anyone else, and because she knew it better than anyone else, anybody else's way of doing anything was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is the turnover at this business was very high. Everyone that I was speaking to was ready to quit.
A lot of casualties.
A lot of casualties, which is very, very expensive. And when I was speaking to the founder, she was very tired, hadn't had a vacation in a long time. And I looked at her and I said, "Why are you doing this? You know, what's in it for you?" And she didn't even know the answer to that question.
She was on it. She'd gotten in that little hamster wheel, and she was just running and running, wasn't she?
Exactly. She even said that. She said, "It feels like Groundhog Day every day."
Yeah.
and that's no fun. So at the retreat,
you don't want to operate your business like a rodent, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. But the purpose of the retreat that we did is at this retreat, I said to everyone, you know, the business is everyone's, and the responsibility to change it is everyone's.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was kind of like this light bulb went off in everyone's head that, oh, my God, it's not just the founder's responsibility. It's my responsibility, too. If I don't like the way things are happening around here to me or somebody else, I have to open my mouth. I have to mm-hmm. say something. And so we began to look at what were the skills that everyone actually brought to the table, because that's another mistake teams make. When they think about the skills that they bring to the table, they think about experience and expertise. I'm the marketing person, so I know how to do a marketing plan, or I'm the CIO, so I know how to build the technology. But as human beings, we have skills very different from our expertise. For example, I'm somebody who's really good at blue skying. I can think up big ideas till I'm blue in the face, but don't ask me to assess risk. Don't ask me what can go wrong with those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so on a team, it's very important to understand not only what the experience and expertise is, but what are the natural abilities of
mm-hmm.
the people on your team.
And make sure that the people are doing what their natural abilities are. It's amazing. I'm sure you've seen this, is when you go in there and you see one person doing something that somebody else doing something else, and they actually need to swap jobs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get Susan to help us sort all this out and get your team hitting on all 8 cylinders right after these messages. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
And you know, Jim, one of the things I really love about your show is that you are always willing to tackle topics that aren't purely business, like self-discovery and how to find balance in this hectic world and how to bring our best to business simply because we're learning how to bring our very best to life.
You ain't had enough to eat.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. We're visiting with our good friend Susan Annunzio, the author of Contagious Success. Susan, tell us where the book's available. Give us your website, please.
My website is www.centerforhighperformance.com.
All right. And they can find the book there?
You can get the book through us at centerforhighperformance.com or on amazon.com.
All right. So sounds good, folks. So check that out. Okay, we're talking about building teams. We're talking about getting our team, you know, maybe even we could, folks, in your case, we could just be getting you woken up awakened to the concept that you actually have a team that is doing things you can't touch, that you can't touch because your business has gotten to that point, and you now say, you know what, I better start spending time. And this is a pivotal point, I think, Susan. It's when the business manager, the business owner, the founder says, I've got to now spend dedicated time managing my team, not managing projects. What do you
exactly.
think?
Exactly. That is such an excellent point.
Isn't that
key
that's
to success.
That's a tipping point, isn't it?
It's a tipping point, absolutely. I mean, business, I like to say business is a team sport. And we should manage our business teams the same way you would manage a sports team.
Right.
You want to pass the ball. You want to find who's your best player. In a sports team, in a basketball team, you wouldn't make a forward a guard. You wouldn't have anybody. You wouldn't have the coach play all the positions.
Right.
And yet in business, we do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We have performance reviews, and we say to somebody, "Well, you're a really good forward, but let's spend some time teaching you how to be a guard." Instead of how do we make you the best forward on the entire, you know, NBA team?
Let me tell you something else. There's another problem. We hire managers, but then we don't let them manage.
Exactly.
And here's my point. One of the classic mistakes people make with their teams is they promote a salesperson to become the company's first sales manager. But then they make the sales manager keep managing the territory.
Yeah.
And they never ever let the manager be a manager. They're only, I'm not even sure why they even give them that title. Maybe they're just trying to keep him from leaving or something, or her from leaving. But it's hard for a lot of business owners to get the idea that if you're a manager, that's what you do. You don't actually make things. You manage people who make things or who make things happen.
But
it's hard.
It's a skill. Not everybody can manage human beings.
It's very
rough.
Managing
human beings requires you to understand what is it that everybody on your team brings to the table that's uniquely different, and how can you encourage that uniqueness in those individuals so that you have a great team.
Do you encourage personality assessments, personality profiles, that kind of thing?
It depends on what they are. I like assessments that help understand what someone's strengths are.
Right, like personality profiles, whether they're high on this factor or low on that factor, that kind of thing, to make sure you haven't put an accountant in a sales job or vice versa.
Yeah, or that you know what somebody's natural abilities are. So, for example, as we were saying earlier, is this someone who's naturally good at developing people? Is this somebody who's naturally good at assessing risk?
Right.
Because you can have different skills and do different jobs in different ways. But it's very important that you try to play to that person's skills and strengths, and you don't try to make somebody something they're not.
But you can't count on them to know, because you actually might be doing something unsuccessfully and not really understand that this is not what you're supposed. This is what you're not supposed to be doing that.
Exactly. But what I don't like about those assessments is often they say, here's what somebody's really good at, and here's their weaknesses. And then we read those and we say, okay, now how are we going to develop weakness? And I say, no. You know, if that's somebody's weakness, unless that weakness really gets in the way of their job, that's just that person's weakness. Now,
leave it
alone. If you've got so much time and so much money, put that time and money on developing their strengths. It's like Tiger Woods. He is a coach, but he has a coach to help him become really good at the golf moves that he's already great at.
Right.
So that he has a unique game, and that's why he keeps winning. And yet we don't do that in business. In business, we want generalists. We want people who are equally good at everything. And those people don't exist.
I've got about a minute, Susan. How do we get the leader to allow themselves to be coached?
That's a hard one. I think
that's how you make a living.
Yeah, I make a living. I think if the person wants the business to actually grow bigger than them, and they want it to be a wealth creation strategy for them instead of a death creation strategy, because that's what that's a death spiral. When you do everything yourself, and I'm not saying that lightly, I have worked with entrepreneurs
who have
had heart attacks, who have ended up in the hospital, who
are dead,
who drank too much and got in a car accident because they were overtired.
Yeah.
So you have a choice. You could have a death cycle or a wealth creation cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires help to have that wealth creation cycle.
Well said. Susan, give us the website again, please.
It's www.centerforhighperformance.com.
And the book is called Contagious Success. It's available there on your website, right? And wherever books are sold.
Yes, it is.
Susan, will you come back another day?
I certainly will, Jim. Thanks, as always, for having me on your show.
It's always a pleasure. We'll see you next time. Susan Annunzio, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to take a quick break, right back with Paul Casey after these messages. Stay with me.
Lose you, and I don't know where I am going.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.